T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jonathan Wells is part of our tailgate show. He spends the 4 o'clock hour with us. Jonathan, what's up?
How you doing, fellas? How y'all doing today?
What's going on? What are you doing? You making a video or something?
Not yet.
Oh.
Not yet.
This segment of the program brought to you by Broke Ass Phone in Rocky River. We fix it right now. And their new location in Strongsville. All right, guys, let's start with the Browns here. You didn't have a chance to chime in. We talked about the game yesterday. What did you think of that game?
Typical.
Or Sunday.
Basically what I expected. I just thought Kansas City had too much on offense for those guys. I thought they would play hard for Greg, which they did. But just overall, the scheme and the play calling by Andy Reid is just on another level right now. And I didn't think that they would have enough to, win the game. But, I saw some good things on offense. Nick Chubb ran the ball hard. Baker had some good moments.
They got my guy
as well.
Duke involved.
Duke Johnson got involved.
Love Duke.
Everything you guys have been calling for, they were able to, make that happen. But it just came up short again.
You talk about Andy Reid's offense. And you always wonder, when a quarterback has so much success so soon, you wonder, is part of it just scheme? Is part of it talent around him? And sure, that all factors in. But Patrick Mahomes has an elite arm. He's got elite athletic ability. He seems to be smart as hell. Listen, there's no denying he's got ridiculous talent around him and a great coach.
Yep.
But my gosh, I love this kid. How could you not love him? He's amazing.
He's special, but man, like you say, when you have a veteran play caller who's been around this league and has been as, good in this league as Andy Reid, that definitely helps. And he got to sit behind his guy last year to learn and really get the grasp of the playbook, and he wasn't thrown into the fire. I think that kind of helped him out as well. But just naturally talented, confident, the arm, he has everything that you want in your franchise quarterback.
Did you think, J-Dub, coming into this game, that the Browns had a legitimate chance to win or compete? We knew how talented their team was, the Chiefs, with that offense. Did you think that the Browns would actually have a shot?
No. I did not think they had a shot, especially with a crazy week going forward like that. They don't have enough. They don't have enough depth. The defense is banged up. The wide receivers are banged up, even though they got Higgins back. But, they just don't have enough depth right now to beat those kind of teams in the league.
I mean, Kareem Hunt is a top 5 running back.
Yes.
Travis Kelce, I believe, is now the best pass-catching tight end in the NFL.
Would agree.
Because Gronk can't stay on the field. And Tyreek Hill is the fastest wide receiver in football, and he's a top, 10, 12 wide receiver. Sammy Watkins is a good number 2 receiver, right? Even Spencer Ware, their backup running back, he had an awesome year 2-3 years ago before Kareem Hunt. And their quarterback's tremendous, and their offensive line gives them time. I mean, there's no holes on their offense.
With great play calling.
And so, with great play calling,
With all of that, they're going to be a tough out in the playoff. I'm really looking forward to, as the season continues to move forward and those guys can stay healthy.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great playoff battle down here in the AFC coming up in a couple of months.
I saw a bunch of Chiefs fans because I went to the Monsters game.
There's a lot of them.
And there was a lot of Chiefs fans.
There's 100 Kareem Hunts out there.
And I said to them, I said, man, I'm rooting for you guys because I'll root for the Chiefs or the Chargers in the AFC. I'm sick of the Steelers.
Exactly.
Sick of the Patriots. Exactly. Chiefs and Chargers. Whoever comes out, I'm rooting for one of those teams.
And Kareem and Kelce are both.
And they're local guys. They've both been on the show in studio. We love these guys. So,
I agree. As much as I love a dynasty, I want to see a new champion this year.
New blood.
Yeah, give me somebody fresh and Let's see how it plays out, though. But it's going to be interesting for sure.
I'd like to see Chiefs or Chargers. My final four from a rooting standpoint would be Chiefs, Chargers, Rams, Saints.
Yes.
I'd love to see those four teams in the final four.
I'm pulling for the Saints. Obviously.
I like the Saints.
I'm from New Orleans. And they got a ton of Buckeyes down there that are having an impact. So I would love to see the Saints get one, especially how they lost last year.
Yeah.
I would like to see them get back and have their chance again.
Drew Brees is outside of my team, he's like one of my favorite players. I love Drew Brees.
Love him.
And I love Alvin Kamara. He's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's great.
Michael Thomas, man. Did you see that coming from Michael out of Ohio State, Dustin?
No.
Nobody saw that, right?
I did not.
He had 200 yards this past week.
Yeah, but that goes to show you when you play with a guy like Drew Brees, though, it just takes your game to another level. So he got lucky and blessed to be drafted down there to play with Drew for sure.
What's amazing is if you think about it, like Drew Brees has had good talent around him, but to this point, it's too early to say with Michael Thomas and Kamara because they could get there. But he hasn't played with any Hall of Famers, right, that I can think of?
No, not
Jimmy
many.
Graham is good, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
No, I don't think
so. You know,
so.
Marquise Colston, he's not a Hall of Famer. Good player, but not a Hall of Famer.
He had
Brandon Cooks for a year or whatever, but like, you know, but and neither is Brady except for Randy Moss those couple of years in terms of the offensive play, skill position players. But it is amazing. He's just such a special talent. But anyway, getting back to the Browns, you talk about the injuries on the defense, guys. You know, they already had no chance. I agree with you. I didn't think they had a chance either. Once those injuries started piling up, I mean, the Chiefs almost could have like named the score. It seemed like, sure.
Yeah, I think it was like they were really toying with them.
Yeah,
at times it was like they really were just out there having fun. Like they didn't have to press, they didn't have to do it. They did whatever they wanted to do when they wanted to do it. So you know, but I expected that going in.
Yeah,
I think we'll get a better judge of the team. You know, here against Atlanta. I think this should be a little bit more competitive as opposed
to Atlanta's got a good offense,
too.
Yeah,
they do.
But their defense stinks.
Right.
Yeah.
So is Denzel Ward, he's out? Or
we don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
No update.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be big. If he doesn't play, then they won't have a shot in this one either.
You got Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley is a stud rookie. He's playing really well for them.
Yes.
And even Mohamed Sanu is a pretty good one. I mean, he's their third guy or whatever, and their tight end's a good player, too. So they got a lot of weapons in the passing game. This will be a tricky, but their defense, especially their secondary, is really bad. They've given up the most, I was mentioning before, the most passing yards to running backs
in the
NFL. So I think it's got to be another big Duke game. It's a great Duke and Chubb are going to be, I think, a special combo for a couple of years.
And I'm glad, Dustin, that you mentioned that Duke was injured because some of the times I'm like, why is he jogging out of bounds?
He's got a quad.
It makes sense. I'm like, what is he doing? Like, he looks like he's coasting most of the time. Yep. But he definitely had a good game, and hopefully they can continue that and get him the ball some more.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, we'll
combo.
See what happens. What'd you make of Greg Williams' debut as head coach?
I mean, Greg is going to be Greg. Greg is just ultra aggressive. I expected that. So when he started going for the 2-point conversions, didn't surprise me at all. That's kind of, you know, his MO.
Yeah.
But defensively, like I said, when he started losing players, he really didn't have a shot. So I thought, you know, it was what I expected. I still see guys that can play better. I still see guys that can make more plays that are out there on the field. But at the same time, I think Greg did as good a job as you can stepping in the middle of a week.
Yeah, it's a tough spot.
You're coming in
the middle of the season. You're playing one of the top four teams in football.
Right.
You know, you're banged up defensively. It's you got a new offensive coordinator who's never called plays.
Imagine that.
There was a lot of challenges in that game.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's you can't be surprised.
You like him going for two?
I don't mind because Greg, in his mind, he has nothing to lose. He's like, I got eight games. I want to be aggressive, try to instill some confidence in this offense.
Sure.
But we can get 2 points, great. If not, it doesn't kill us at the same time.
Yeah.
So I don't mind him going for the 2-point conversions at all. He's just trying to really just get some mojo going with these guys. Yeah. You got a long drive. You wore the defense down. All right, let's see if we can get two after the touchdown. So I didn't have a problem with it.
I know. I don't know if you were listening when we mentioned this before, but this had me concerned. This is from the Monday Morning Quarterback piece that we were referencing, written by Robert Klemko. And he said, I'll just read you this one part. He said, John Dorsey has been given no assurances that Jimmy Haslam will go with his GM recommendation, according to two league sources.
You mean with his head coaching recommendation?
Right.
Oh, that's incredible. How?
I mean,
why did you hire him then?
Well, that's exactly – I mean, you better let the guy – he's the only good hire you've made in six years.
Right. Yeah.
You better let him hire the right guy.
Yeah, I hope
Jimmy Haslam can't pick the coach.
Yeah, I hope that he steps back and just really leaves this to John Dorsey and Highsmith. You know, they got some guys in there that know the game, that have been making – you know, putting rosters together for a while now. I hope he steps back and allows those guys to do what they do and what he paid them to do.
That's it. A good manager, as I always say, you hire the people you trust. And then you let them do their job, right? A good GM lets his coach do his job. A good coach lets his assistants do his job. And a good owner lets his GM run the football operations. It's simple. Stay on the business side. Do that.
It's just, but when you know you're dealing with those billionaires, man, that ego is just sometimes enormous. And sometimes they can't get out their own way.
But you know? See all the successful franchises, their owner stays out of the way.
Yeah.
Right? All the best teams. Dallas.
Does Robert Kraft really stay out of the way, or does he?
Last year, he finally meddled, and they traded Garoppolo, which they shouldn't have done, probably.
Yeah.
Although Tom Brady looks like he's still 25. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true. That's
ridiculous. Yeah. Tom Brady's ridiculous.
At his age, yeah.
Him and Breeze.
Is this still a conversation between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers? Because that's never been in my mind that was a comparison, by the way.
Oh, what do you mean?
That's not a comparison.
There's no comparison?
No.
Why? Because of the Super Bowl rings?
Because just everything. First of all,
I'm getting beaten up on this one.
Aaron Rodgers is fragile. He can't stay healthy. You don't see Tom Brady missing games.
He missed one season.
That's it. But other than that, he's been on the field every play. And he's doing it still at 40 years old.
After this week, it's hard for me to argue about Rodgers over Brady.
Yeah, I'm not trying to hear it.
I still think Rodgers is the most talented quarterback.
No, very talented. Great. But
not the greatest ever.
That's my point.
And his career's not over yet. He's a lot younger than Brady, so we'll see. He can win 3 Super Bowls. He hasn't had the coach that Brady's had, the organization. They've never had a good defense. They've never had a running game.
But I would be willing to say that he's had more talent than Brady throughout this time. Brady takes guys we don't even know of. They don't even, Hogan. Anybody you put into a Brady system, they turn into a star.
I think Rodgers has had better wide receivers.
Yes.
Brady's had a better tight ends and better running backs.
Okay. But
I mean, who's been a good running back for the Packers in recent years?
Yeah, well, you can't call anybody out there for the run. I was speaking more just wide receiver.
Wide receivers, yes. I grant you that. Outside of Randy Moss, you're right. I mean, you know, he had Jordy Nelson when he was great. Devontae Adams is probably one of the more underrated wide receivers in the league.
And the other guy that's on ESPN, the other good receiver that they had down there.
Oh, yeah.
Jennings.
Greg Jennings.
Randall Cobb used to be good. He's had
some really talented people.
He has
to work
had good wide receivers, no doubt. But Brady's had the better running game. Brady's had the better tight end. Brady's had the better coach and had the better defense generally. Yeah, sure. But, you know, listen, I can't take anything away from Brady. The guy's great.
That's phenomenal.
He's a stud.
You know, we're looking at right now, like Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze are three of the, top 6 quarterbacks of all time?
Brady's, Rodgers, and Breeze. Yeah.
I mean, we can go with that. Right, Brady, Rodgers, Breeze.
Do you put Peyton Manning behind
Joe Montana.
Aaron Rodgers. Peyton's behind Aaron. How?
I would put Manning ahead of Rodgers.
Yeah, I would have to as well.
I would put Manning ahead of Brady, and I know a lot.
Oh no, we can't do that.
For me, it would be Manning, Rodgers, Brady,
Breeze.
Probably Montana. Breeze.
Oh, you mean all time? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if we're doing modern, then Breeze.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I don't know. Listen, one guy's a 10.0, one guy's a 9.95.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's all on your flavor, whatever you like.
They're the elite of the elite. All right, fellas, tonight the second college football playoff rankings will be released. The AP poll has already been released, and Ohio State stayed at number 8. LSU dropped behind them, but West Virginia jumped over them. We know Ohio State may still have a path to the college football playoff, guys. But I don't know that they definitely control their own destiny. In fact, they don't 100% because if Clemson and Notre Dame win out and Georgia beat Alabama in the SEC championship game, I think Ohio State's out even if they win out.
I think
in that case. But I don't know that, obviously. But
a lot of football left, man.
Yeah,
so much football left, Ben, Adam. I mean, there's just so many things that could happen. Frankly, the way that Ohio State has played to this point, I'd be surprised if they don't lose another game.
I'm not mad at that sentiment.
And guess what? I'm not so sure that this Saturday is a guaranteed win.
Oh no, absolutely not.
On the road
at East Lansing.
You know how those guys play us. They've always played us tough besides last year, and I'm sure they're licking their chops to get back from that one we put on them last year.
Right. So I had on Saturday I was watching a game with my buddy Eddie and Derek.
Yeah.
And one of my buddies I think it was Eddie who said, does it look to you like the players are disinterested or almost like they know that Urban is not the same, like Urban's not into it? And we're just talking about it a little bit. I'm not saying that is the case.
Yeah.
But like last week when Urban came out with the comments about the head and the cyst and the headaches and everything, you know, there are some out there that believe that Urban was setting up his exit strategy.
Yeah. It's a weird vibe around the team right now.
It is a weird vibe.
Yeah.
And my thought was, we were talking about it, is it possible that the players sense that vibe too? Like maybe they get the sense that there is a one foot out the door mentality or thought.
I don't think that's crazy.
What do you guys
think? I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, it's possible. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just – they don't look like the same Ohio State Buckeyes team we've seen over the last six seasons.
80 points allowed in the last 2 weeks.
Well, what I'll say is this. You know, my take on it is like I just think there's a lot of youth on the defense. A lot of these guys are first-year starters, first-year players.
Right.
And we're used to just seeing that dominating force that we normally have, but we don't have that lockdown corner that we could always depend on to shut down one side of the field. Yep. We don't have that this year. So now the safeties are getting put in bad positions. It's like the linebackers. We've already talked about the linebackers and the foot speed, and I think that they're the slowest group I've seen here in a long time. So, you know, there's just a lot of depth. Then you lose the number one player in the country.
Yeah.
Oh, so. And he was able to cover up so much stuff for you by getting backfield so quick.
Yeah.
Your DBs weren't able to get exposed.
Right.
Now you don't have that pass rush. Chase Young has not taken that next step that I thought he would be able to take because now he's getting the double team
right.
that Nick was used to getting.
True.
So there's just a lot of guys that this is their first action with this type of pressure. I'm still not mad at 8-1. I'm okay. 7-1. I'm okay right now, but it could be a lot worse.
Could be.
But moving forward against Michigan State, if we cannot pass protect, you know D'Antonio's going to bring it.
Oh,
he's going to bring every blitz from under the sun to get Haskins off his spot. And what I saw last week in Haskins was when he has to move off his spot, he's nowhere near as accurate as he is when he's able to stand back there and just gunsling it. So I know that that's the whole defensive plan for them coming in next week is to move, make him have to move and make quick decisions, and we'll see how it plays out.
Couple of things to what you said there. Number one, you know, it's almost like with the Steelers and the Ravens, you have this feeling as a fan that you just assume both those teams will have a great defense every year, right? And some years they don't. Like the Ravens defense has been pretty good this year, but in the last couple of years they always have. The Steelers are, again, better this year, but in recent years they've had some bad, mediocre or bad defenses, and it's hard to wrap your head around it because you always expect it to be great.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like, it's same thing with the Buckeyes. I'm like, okay, I know they're going to be great on defense.
Yeah.
Even though I might not even know the players' names going into the season. I'm just like, well, they're going to be great on defense because they're always great on defense.
Yeah, we're missing real leadership from the line, from the middle of our defense and the linebackers. We're missing real versatility and athleticism and leadership at that position right now. And like I said, not having that lockdown corner is really hurting us right now because – teams can throw the ball all over the field on us. It doesn't matter. Normally, you have to go away from Conley or Apple or these guys who've been going in the first round. We don't have that this year. And, you know, you guys want to talk about, well, why don't they come up on the line of scrimmage? I'm like, how are they going to come up on the line of scrimmage? Guys are running by them.
Yeah.
So then when you see them drop back deep 10 yards, they're giving up stuff underneath.
Right.
It's like I just think right now the talent is not at the level that we're used to because of youth. And we're having some issues at depth as well. But, you know, they've been doing enough to get it done. So I'm not too mad at them.
How can we fix it midseason? How can we make the defense better? You know, to me, I don't know that you can fix it. I was doing a show with my guys on Sirius the other day, and they were asking me, how do you fix the defense? I'm like, well, you got to learn to tackle better first and foremost.
That would help.
You got to be able to get guys on the ground. Like, well, how do you do that in the middle of the season? Well, I guess you got to tackle and practice it or something because these guys – just don't really have the want to at times, and it's really disappointing.
But they just had their best chance because they were coming off a bye, and Nebraska's probably the worst team you're playing the rest of the season.
I think we just really lack leadership on the defense.
Yeah.
And that's what – you know, you can have all the talent in the world, Bull, but there is something to be said for having those guys to look up to. And when you lost Nick Bosa, you know, after that TCU game, you lost your heart and you lost your soul of your defense.
You did. Yeah. Like, listen, and we can always talk about next man up, but most of the time that next man is not going to have to follow up the guy who may be a top three draft pick.
Yeah. Right.
So, it's just a huge difference that we're asking these guys to step up and have to be able to carry, but, you know, they're doing it. And like you say, if they can some way figure out these next three games, they still kind of, you know, have their own destiny right in front of them. So I'm looking forward to the next 3 weeks, and I think we're going to figure out a way to potentially get it done.
Are you guys concerned that Dwayne Haskins seems a little uncomfortable taking hits?
Absolutely.
Right? Is that a concern?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I'm not even thinking about just from an Ohio State perspective now. I'm thinking about, dude, what are you going to do when you go to the NFL?
Right.
Like all
bigger, stronger, faster.
Bro, you're not going to have – none of your passes are going to be just standing back there throwing the ball. Ask Baker Mayfield about that.
That's right.
You're going to get banged up. Guys are going to be all over you. And if you can't stand back there and take that pressure, then, you know, if he doesn't figure that out, that may start to drop his stock a little bit, you know, moving forward here later in the season.
Crazy thought. not that I'm advocating for it at all. But Dwayne Haskins, probably the first true pocket passer Urban's ever had, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, by sure. far.
Yeah.
He's and, another league.
And doesn't it look like Urban doesn't know how to co- or not? I shouldn't say doesn't know how to coach. It's not fair. He clearly knows how to coach, but knows how to fit to this skill set with his offense.
It absolutely looks like that to me.
Like, is it crazy to think he's not a better quarterback, but could the offense be better if, like, Tate Martell was running it? I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying
what you're
Martell
saying.
Is the guy that fits the system.
The mold, right.
Haskins doesn't fit the system.
Exactly. I mean, now for the college level, maybe he may be a better fit. I don't know. But it's hard for me to just criticize.
And you're not going to bench him, clearly.
Haskins at all.
He's had a monster year.
He's about to break every record, single season record in Ohio State history by a mile.
I know.
So it's hard me to give him any criticism talking about pulling him. The only way I can see you using Tate is if you bring him in the red zone where you want to use your RPO.
Absolutely.
But other than that, I don't want to see Tate Martell on the field.
I don't have a problem working him in a little.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Dwayne Haskins is not their problem.
Far from it.
He's not their problem.
Not at all.
But you talk about even. Let me think about this for a second, guys. Ohio State's allowed 80 points the last two games. Mm. Michigan lost their opener to Notre Dame 24-17. Since then, they've won 8 in a row, and in those 8 games, they've allowed 98 points. So Ohio State's allowed 80 points the last two games. Michigan's given up 98 points in their 8 wins. That's like 12 points a game.
Nah, yeah, listen.
Their defense is playing like they beat Penn State 42-7.
Listen,
it was 42-0.
They found their stride. Yeah. You know, but I'm not surprised by them having a good defense. They always have a top 10, top 5 defense. It's the offense that's found their stride, which bothers me right now. Because now they got playmakers at the receiver. They have a quarterback that can run the ball, throw the ball. They have 3 or 4 good running backs back there now.
Yeah.
So they've definitely put together their best nucleus of players in a long time. And we're going to have our hands full.
Yeah.
We're going to have our hands full, hands down.
But Harbaugh, as much love as he's getting now, if he don't win Ohio State, if he doesn't win that game this year, it's going to feel like it's never going to happen for them.
Yeah, for real.
They have to win. Right now, they're the better team. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to find out.
The game's in Columbus, though.
We're going to find out. They're both 7-1 right now, so they're not better than me until they prove it. They got a late. They've been getting whipped a long time for me to just go on and give them a W in the horseshoe. I just can't do that.
All right,
That's true.
What's up? I'm not saying they're definitely going to win. I'm saying they're playing much better right now.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about that. But they got to go to Columbus and win, and that obviously will not be easy.
That's a tough task.
The thing is, like, Ohio State has to play Michigan State, which is a tough game. And then even Maryland's not terrible. I know they've got some upheaval.
Yeah, but Maryland could be looking at Ohio State like, this saves our season.
Right. You know who Michigan's playing the next 2 weeks? Rutgers and Indiana.
Mm.
So they're basically getting a couple of byes leading up to that game.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, let them get relaxed.
Yeah.
And come in there and get smacked again for the 16 out of the last 18 years. So I don't want to hear nothing about them. They got to come prove it.
They got to prove it.
Yeah,
There's no doubt.
I don't care how they playing. When you're getting that horseshoe, it's just a different ball game. It's another level.
And
you can throw the schedules
out of the way. Those guys, even though, I mean, they're talking smack, that they're Chase Vinovich is wearing the shirt that, you know, we are, I forget exactly
what it says.
The Revenge Tour shirt. And hey, listen, I can't argue that they are the team to beat in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah.
But is something to be said, as you say, when you get inside the horseshoe, those guys are all going to remember every time they've been there in the past.
Yeah.
And every time that Ohio State's come to the Big House, that they've choked.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
They've had opportunities to win.
Yep.
I mean, it's like Ohio State's been crushing them the last few years. They've had chances to win, and they have not been able to get it done.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be fascinating. Well, guys, we talked about it real briefly yesterday, but man, Alabama looks like a freaking machine, don't they?
Yeah,
I mean, LSU was the number 3 team in the country, and they killed them.
I mean, with a quarterback like this, that just puts them in another galaxy. This is something that they've never had at that position. They've always had the talent everywhere else, but to have a quarterback that can throw the ball like this puts them out of everybody's league right now.
And as a lefty myself, we don't have any lefties in the NFL at quarterback. Not one anymore.
Wow. Didn't think about
right?
that.
Right, and so I'm rooting for I got to root for my fellow lefties. I think only 9% of people are left-handed. Maybe it's 11%.
Is he a true sophomore? What year is he?
Yeah, he's got another year.
Wow, unbelievable.
Which I heard Charlie Weiss, former Patriots coach, and Notre Dame coach. He was saying he thought he'd be the first overall pick in the draft this year. I don't know if that's true. I didn't know he was that big an NFL prospect, too.
How tall is he?
Not sure.
I think he's like 6'3".
Yeah, oh, that's perfect. As long as he's over that 6'1".
Well, but
6'1".
Baker just got drafted first overall.
That's what I'm saying. But if he's
6'3",
he's
listed.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it makes it easier. It's an easier pick.
Let's see. On ESPN, they list him at 6'1".
Oh, okay. Well, that
6'1", 218.
We'll see.
In his 2 years in Alabama, he's thrown 38 touchdowns and 3 picks. And this year, 27-1. And he's thrown in – he's played what let's see. How many games he played? He's played about 11 games, I think. And he's thrown for like 3,000 yards. So,
and you know what the funniest thing I hear when people complain about Alabama doesn't play anyone? I'm like, aren't they in the toughest conference in college football still?
Yeah, everybody, you know, it's so funny. It's so weird to me because where I grew up, nobody cared about college football.
Okay.
And so I didn't grow up with, like, I root for this conference, right? Like, but I always find it funny, like, everybody in the Big Ten thinks the SEC is overrated, all the Big Ten fans.
Right.
All the SEC fans think every other conference stinks.
Right.
I'm sure it's the same thing with every other conference, too. You know, that's just everybody's loyal to their conference, especially in the SEC, right? You grew up in SEC country.
I mean, I'm loyal to a school.
Yeah.
The conference, I guess we have to kind of pull for the conference if you want to say that, but I think those people that are loyal to a conference is because their school probably personally sucks. No, so that's the only thing.
So you won't, if Michigan makes the playoff, you're not rooting for them?
I will, but I'm not going to lose any sleep either.
Right, but you're not rooting, okay.
Yeah,
Dustin, are you rooting for, if Michigan plays Alabama for the national title, who are you rooting for?
I'd probably root for Michigan.
Yeah. The only thing that's a barrier for, because I'm like, my best friend from high school I play with is Alabama strength coach. So I have a lot of love. I have a love for their program because I used to sleep at this guy's house. It's my dude.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a little different. But other than that, I pull for Big Ten teams in bowl games. Absolutely.
See, there is some conference loyalty.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's fine.
You know, I mean, but yeah, it seems more extreme in the SEC.
Yes.
Even though they hate each other. I would like to go to some SEC football games to have that experience.
Yeah.
As a fan, I think that would probably be fun.
Yeah.
To go to some of those.
Well, it's great when they get to play in 85 degrees and late November. That's great.
Well, you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see an 8-team college football playoff and the first round games be at the higher seed stadium.
Exactly.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes. We just finished talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
That would be beautiful. Like, I would love to see them have to come up here in December and January and have to play in these conditions, because they're not going to tell me that it just doesn't make a difference. I refuse to believe that.
Yeah, of course it's going to make a difference, especially if you're not used to playing. If you're, you know, Alabama doesn't play. How often does Alabama play in cold weather?
Not at all often.
You
not
know, once in a blue moon. But
like,
yeah.
Every time we've played a down south team, we've had to travel to them.
Right.
For a bowl. They've never had to come up here and play us.
Right, because none of the good bowl games are up north.
Exactly.
You know, those are like the tier 3 and 4 bowls that you don't want to be playing in.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be playing in the Pinstripe Bowl on the day before Christmas.
Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I mean, it's kind of cool. It's in Yankee Stadium.
But it is cool.
But like, it's always like, it's always like Boston College versus Army, which is, you know, fine, but... It's not a premier bowl game.
By the way, Dustin, if you get a chance, man, you should check out my high school while you're down there, man. You know, legendary. My coach.
What is your high school?
Dustin's going to New Orleans, for those who don't know.
Yeah, I'm calling the Tulane game this weekend.
John Curtis Christian School, 26 state championships. Number one school
26?
In America.
So,
yeah.
Where is that, like, in retrospect to Bourbon and for the French Quarter and all that area? Is it real close?
As soon as you get off at the airport in Kenner, my school is about 5 minutes headed towards New Orleans. So it's literally 12, 15 minutes from the city.
Because isn't Tulane just like 5 minutes north of the city?
Yeah, Tulane's in the city.
It's in the city, right?
Yeah, Tulane's in the city. It's like
they built this brand new stadium. I can't wait.
That's where my high school plays their games at.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we have a bye week this week. We just won the Catholic League. Anyway, that's another story. Yeah.
Interesting.
All right.
We got to get Bull down.
But if you can get by there, though, it'd be great to meet my coach.
We're going to get Bull down in New Orleans.
Yeah, we need to set us
up. Yeah,
the only city Bull hasn't been, it's a great food city.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, in America. I haven't been anywhere outside this country.
Yeah, but you haven't been outside
talking about
the country?
America.
I mean, just to Canada. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have tentative plans with the family to go to Italy in like 2 years.
Okay.
Once my son's a little older, I'd like
Italy's,
to go.
That's where I want to go. Yeah. Italy, or I want to do one of those cruises like over in Greece.
Yeah. Well, you get to hit all of them.
Hit all the islands.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know though. I get boats sick. I'm not, maybe on a cruise I wouldn't because it's such a big ship.
But
I'm
not. Yeah, you gotta do the patch. The ear, man.
You gotta do it. You gotta do it.
When I was on my honeymoon in Hawaii, we went on like this boat tour to go see like dolphins and that stuff. I was sick the whole time.
Yeah, that's the worst too.
Oh,
that is the worst.
And I couldn't throw up. So like a lot of times when you throw up, then you feel a little better. But I couldn't throw up. I was just nauseous the whole time. It was awful. Besides that, I had a great time. Although we did go on a submarine. I didn't get sick. We got this little submarine that you go down, you know, a little bit to see Hawaii is amazing. You been to Hawaii?
I have been to Hawaii, to a Pro Bowl, yeah.
You went to the Pro Bowl?
Well, my returner that made the Pro Bowl because of me, he followed me around. You. Basically, he just brought me with him.
Nice. Yeah. Well, the Pro Bowl is played on the Big Island, right?
Honolulu.
Okay. Yep. I went to Maui, which is, I mean, Hawaii's just like heaven on earth. I mean, it's crazy.
It was good. I was there for like 10 days. So after like the fifth day, I was kind of ready to come home.
Ready to go home?
Yeah.
It's expensive to live there, I've heard.
Yeah.
You know, everything's got to be shipped in. But I don't know. I was on my honeymoon too. So you're on your honeymoon.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah. You're in good spirits. I'm staying in a nice hotel. I'm eating good food. I had a great time. But anyway, some final thoughts here, guys, before we wrap up this segment. On either the Browns or the Buckeyes. What have we not hit on yet?
Who's the next coach for the Browns, by the way?
Oh, God.
Who's the next coach for the Browns?
Who do you want?
Oh, my goodness. Like, honestly, I don't care. I just want him to get it right.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's old. I don't care what he is. I just get it right. Let's just get some people in here to get some players and get some wins. And give this city what they deserve, a real good product on the field. That's all I care about, man. Because I can't, like Matt Campbell, I don't know enough about him to say that he's going to be a great NFL quarterback.
And it's tough for a guy who's never been in the NFL.
I mean,
it is.
Coach, yeah.
Yeah. So
that's the thing with Lincoln Riley and Matt Campbell. They're exciting names, but they've never been in the NFL at all.
So, you know, it's going to be interesting. You got to see which one of these guys get fired. I definitely wouldn't be opposed to McCarthy, from Green Bay. You know, he has history. You know, he's been with a great quarterback for years. So I'm sure he could bring some of that over here and give some of that magic to Baker. But I don't really have a dog in the race. I just want him to get it right.
Just get it right. That's the thing, right? Like, picking the right coach is really just an educated guess. There's no way to know for sure who's going to be a great coach. You know, we all look at Sean McVay now and say, oh, we all wish we had him, but you didn't know he was going to be what he is.
And you can't look out there and just point to who's going to be the next Sean McVay
But the hope is that John Dorsey's guest is going to be more educated, certainly than Jimmy Haslam.
right.
And other guys who have made the choices in the past. And you got to trust that he knows enough about the game that he's going to find the right guy. And, you know, and you just hope he gets it right. But we don't know. Again, as much as I've crushed Hugh Jackson, at the time they hired him, I loved it. I thought it was a great hire. He was my choice at the time, and it didn't work out.
You
never know. I mean, and we certainly don't know for sure. I mean, we're not in those meetings. We don't know what these guys are saying. But
once again, these players, they got to hold the end of the bargain.
I don't care
who they bring in here.
Yeah.
The routine plays, they got to start making the routine plays. They got the silly stuff has to stop that you've been knowing since you were 7, 8, 9 years
old. Bad drops.
Stuff like that. You just got to hold your end of the bargain.
Yeah, that's true. You want to comment on the Cavs?
They're
disgusting.
They're gross.
What did you guys expect, though? I mean,
I expected them not to be good, but not this bad.
Yeah, I expected them
I thought they'd be normal bad.
I expected them to be terrible. These are the same guys who had the best player in the world last year, and they absolutely just
messed the bed. It's amazing. These guys, the veterans on this team annoy me because they all talk like they're accomplished. LeBron, he just carried all these guys.
I'm not going to say that. Now, listen, those guys.
He carried them.
LeBron's going to carry any team in the NBA he shows up to. But I'm not going to discredit JR, Tristan. Those guys were major pieces of that championship run, especially on the defensive side of the ball. JR played some great defense against Steph. I mean, he was getting it in.
Not last year.
I don't think they didn't have a – once they got KD, those guys didn't feel like they had a shot in the world.
That was it.
Yeah, they lost their swag.
You know, they don't have – the Cavs did this – like, I mean, if you think about it, the Warriors have four players that are either definite Hall of Famers or have a good chance of being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's never been
assembled. The Cavs have one.
It's never. This type of team has never been assembled. Like, people talk to me about the Bulls, and I'm like, dude, I don't care what you're talking about. Michael Jordan, he's never had to face a team this explosive.
Yeah, Jordan had Pippen, who's a Hall of Famer.
But he didn't have to score.
He didn't have any other great offensive
players.
You
got four guys on one team that could potentially score 40 to 50 points whenever they want to.
Well, I don't think Draymond can score 40.
No. Boogie Cousins, when he comes back, he can.
That's fair. He probably could.
Yeah. I mean, three.
Definitely three. The other three can do it any night.
That's no other team has had that at their disposal.
Jonathan, good to see you, buddy.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Feel well, guys. We'll see you next week.
Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.